This morning, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, the 9th chapter and the first verse. 1 Samuel, the 9th chapter and the first verse. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. Now, for we are standing in His presence, we are standing in His presence, we are standing in His presence on holy ground. Could you stand for the reading of God's word? 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter, the first verse. 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter, the first verse. When you have it, say amen. And the word of God reads in 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter, the first verse. Now David said, "Is there still anyone left who was left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Father God, we bless you and we honor you in this place. God, first and foremost, we say thank you. We thank you for the rising of the sun to the time that it goes down and everything in between. God, we say thank you. We say thank you for your son Jesus that died a horrible death that we may have another chance at life. God, we say thank you. God, we say thank you for the team that is over in England that is evangelizing. God, we pray that your will continually be done. We pray that lives be changed. God, we pray that you would take them to and from their destinations safely, God, and we pray that you will bring them back to us. Now, God, as we continue to dwell here, we ask for your blessings throughout the course of the day. We thank you and that you would kindly bind us together. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This morning. It's good to see Max in the back. Hi, Max. I want to give honor to God for all things that he's done in my life, for things that he's continuing to do. I am so very honored this morning to have my son and my daughter-in-law. They were both serving our country in South Dakota, Ellis Air Force Base. And I'm just happy and honored to have them back home, and just thank God for his safe passage from even when he was over in Kuwait and we were praying for him. I just thank God. But 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter, it said that now David said, "Is there anyone who is still in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" James Cleveland and Charles Ford, 1983, had a song that was entitled, "This Too Will Pass." And the words said, "I've had heartaches like this before and disappointments by the score. I claim the victory at last. This too shall pass. Though your heart aches with grief and pain, whether there is sunshine then the rain, just know that it cannot last. This too shall pass." So I want to let you know this morning that whatever you're going through, whatever your mind has convinced you of, whatever you feel that you no longer can bear, this too will pass. Because we sit in church services after church services, waiting till the end of service to hear a word from God. But I want to let you know before I get to my message, this too will pass. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, "This too will pass." I want you to talk to me this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, "This too will pass."
This too will pass.
No matter what you're going through, it will pass. The Bible said David wanted to show kindness to the house of Saul, and recalling the oath that he had taken with Jonathan, 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter, the 14th verse, Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, grandson of Saul, was hiding in a place called Lodabar. Lodabar, 10 miles south of the Sea of Galilee, just east of the River Jordan, meant no pasture, no words, and no communication. And Lodabar was also known as a dry, desolate, dusty place. And Mephibosheth was in this position as of no fault of his own, but hiding there in fear of death. 1 Samuel, the 31st chapter says, "The men of Israel were dying in battle. Saul's sons were dead, and the Philistines were pursuing Saul hard. And he was severely wounded from an archer as he begged his armor bearer to please kill him before ultimately falling upon his sword and dying. Weep over Saul, daughters of Israel. He clothes you in scarlet, and he arrays you with gold. Oh, how the mighty has fallen in battle as Jonathan was slain on your high place." The Bible says Mephibosheth, a 5-year-old boy whose father had been killed and his grandfather had died, was possibly sitting in the courtyard when there was a knock at the door instructing him, telling him, commanding him, "You must run. Your father's dead. Your grandfather's dead. The men of Israel are dying. You must run." Legs too small. The Bible said his nurse swooped him up and tried to carry him. But in the midst of carrying him while running, the Bible says she fell, breaking his back. So you don't have to tell me that life's not fair. I know that life is not fair. Because now this middle-aged man that was once known as Mir Baal, which meant the opponent of Baal, the false god, was now simply called Mephibosheth, son of shame. What's your shame today? As we dress up on Sunday morning and we put our Sunday faces on, we put our Sunday best on, I ask, what is your shame? What is your albatross? What is your problem? What is your secret? What is your burden? What is your pain? Whether you orchestrated it, whether you had a hand in it, whether you inherited it, or whether it took you by surprise, what is your shame? Because it will pass. Well, somebody said, "I've been going through this for decades. Me and my brother haven't talked for years. Me and my sister haven't talked for years. We haven't said the slightest thing in decades. How is it going to pass?" It'll pass. If you believe in your mind and you believe in your heart that what you're going through is going to pass, it will pass. Like my sister talked about a minute ago, as we look at the sunrises and we look at the sunset and we look at the paintings that God gives us every single day, know this, whatever you're going through, it will pass. The Bible said Mephibosheth sitting alone again. When there's another knock at the door announcing that King David wanted to see him, and he wanted to see him right now. And I can see Mephibosheth wondering, how did he find me? Who told him where I was? Who told him my new name? What is going to happen to my son? As they loaded him up to take him to see the king. Maybe you've had the carpet pulled out from underneath you. Maybe you've been caught in a lie. Maybe there's something going on. You don't even understand why this thing is happening to you, and you just don't know. I'm here to tell you this morning, hold on, because this too will pass. Okay, somebody's listening to me. The Bible said Mephibosheth, I'm bringing it to today's terms. Mephibosheth was a hot mess. Mm-hmm. Hot mess. The Bible said that he dared to look upon the king, that he crawled before him. His nails were uncut. His beard was untrimmed. His clothes were not washed. And he answered David as he was crawling before him as this hot mess, "Your servant." As David tells him, and this is the part I like, he said, "Do not be afraid, for surely I will show you kindness for Jonathan's sake." As Mephibosheth lived 15 years unaware that God's grace was still available to him as he's now dining with the king. Maybe you've lived 5, 15, 20 years not realizing that the grace is available to you. But I'm telling you right now that whatever you want, you can receive from God if you're ready to lay it before the altar, knowing beyond a shadow of doubt on this side, this too. Okay. All right, you still listening? Mm-hmm. So why was Mephibosheth a mess? Can you imagine not cutting your toenails for 15 years? I remember my son. I remember my baby boy. Got this thing in his head that his fingernails needed to be a certain length. So at 5, sometimes 6 o'clock in the morning, you would hear tap, 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 tap. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm cutting my fingernails." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because they need to be cut." I said, "What? They need to be cut." So he had this thing where he would cut his fingernails every other morning, and that tap, tap, tap would drive me crazy. So can you imagine 15 years without cutting your fingernails, 15 years without cutting your toenails, 15 years without shaving, 15 years without washing? The Bible said that his clothes were a mess. So why was Mephibosheth a mess? Because he was mourning and refused to do anything with himself until he knew that King David was safe, not realizing that he had been safe 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Because he loved the benefactor more than he loved the benefits. He loved the benefactor more than he loved the benefits. That sometimes I wonder if we love the benefactor more than we love the benefits. Sometimes I wonder, will we remain grateful, loyal, and loving until Christ returns? Because we're caught up with the benefits, forgetting the benefactor. Because sometimes, and I want you to hear this part well, for those that are enduring, for those that are troubled, for those that had that situation where they don't understand why things haven't changed, they wonder why things haven't get better, I want you to hear this next part. Because sometimes the most faithful are the ones that faithfulness is the most difficult to find. David said, I was upset when I saw the wicked prosper like the bay leaf tree. As he in essence asked God, why is this happening to me? Why are they being blessed? Why are they going forward and I'm standing still? If you're faithful to the word of God, this too will pass. Doc, play for me. I know that we go through things day in and day out. And I know we've been trained to put on that happy face. We've been trained to think and say, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, when we're not. Because that same thing that you left at the front door is waiting on you when you get back out. Whether it's a bill, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a loved one, whether it's an argument, whatever the case may be, some things won't change until we change. So I'm saying to you this morning that whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, whatever's overtaking you, leave it at the altar. Give it to God. Because God is saying, my shoulders are strong enough, they're big enough to hold and carry any and everything that you're going through. Because he knows he wants you to have a peaceful Monday, a stress-free Tuesday, a wonderful Wednesday, a great Thursday, and an awesome Friday. So that when you come into this place on Sunday, you're not weighted down. Because let's be truthful, a lot of us come to church out of habit. Can we just be honest this morning? You ain't got to say amen. I pastored 30 years, and a lot of times I went to church out of habit. Never not feeling the presence of God. And it wasn't God's fault, it was mine. Because I'm the one that kept moving. So what I'm saying to you this morning is, regardless of what you're dealing with, give it to God this morning. Bible says, cast your cares on me because I careth for you. He wants it. He needs it. It's his. Mephibosheth lived 15 years not realizing that the grace of God was right there. Living in fear that David was going to kill him. Living in fear that David was going to destroy his whole entire family. When in essence, he wanted to show grace because of Jonathan's sake. Do you or do you not have an agreement with God Almighty? Amen? Do we? You say amen, raise your hand, grunt, something. Do you have an agreement with God Almighty? You're living in that grace. That can't no devil in hell walk on the Jesus in you. Could you bow your heads in prayer? Father God, we bless you this morning because we know that you still keep promises, God. You said that you will never leave us or forsake us. You said that no one can snatch us out of your hands. You said that you will make things new again. You said that you will wipe away every tear. You said you would come again. You said those you love, you chasten, God. So we know that you love us. And we know that you're desiring to get us to that point that we know and understand that it will pass. But God, everyone under the sound of my voice, I pray this morning in the name of Jesus that they fall in love again with the benefactor. We know what the benefits are. We know that you get us up every morning and you lay us down every night, God. And we know these things, but God, when is the last time someone in the sanctuary said, God, I just thank you for you. God, I thank you for Jesus. When is the last time someone in the sanctuary has went to God's throne and not asked for anything, but just to say, God, I thank you. God, I praise you. God, I worship you. God, I love you. God, I adore you. When is the last time we've done that, God? Let us, God, get out of the habit of asking and get back into the habit of thanking God. Because when the praises of God go up, those blessings will come down. God, we know that you are marvelous. Until you come again, God, I pray that we that have lived like Mephibosheth go back to our name, Mir Baal, the opposer of Baal. If there's one under the sound of my voice this morning Maybe you've allowed a situation to overtake you. Maybe you've even just thrown your hands up over the situation and said, there's nothing I can do. I'm done. I'm gone from it. Maybe you spent night after night crying about a situation that God has been trying to take for you in a long time. Because that same God that wants these problems, these cares, these burdens, these worries, is the same God that said through his son Jesus, it's finished. That oppression, that depression, that fear, that trying to fit in, it is finished. And this morning, if you lay it at the altar, it will pass. With every head bowed and every eye closed, quickly ask this question before we close. Is there one here this morning that you've lived as Mephibosheth, but now you're ready to rise up and be Mirbaal? Could you just raise your hand and slip it back down this morning? Praise your name. Praise your name. Bless your name, God. Bless your name, God. God, for those hands that have been raised and these hearts that are being changed right now, I pray, God, that you do a special work, a special recovery, a special thing in their life, God, that you would strengthen them. Some 60, some 80, some 100-fold, God, in this place. And we thank you, God. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your son, Jesus, that died, that we could have a chance to be here today. Because, God, you didn't call us to be the caboose on the train. You called us to be the engine. Now let us go forward in you. These things we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.